I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz on a game day. Joining us now to talk about the Chargers, he covers them for The Athletic. That is Daniel Popper. Thanks for joining us today, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
First, the most important question, are you related to John Popper from Blues Traveler?
I am not, but okay. It's become a recurring bit on various radio shows that they'll play me in with some Blues Brothers tunes.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. We'll start with the quarterback at first. Herbert, do you assume he's going to play tonight, or is this some gamesmanship and you think it'll be Trey Lance?
No, I'm expecting him to play. I've covered his entire career, and I've seen him play through some pretty gnarly injuries, whether that was fractured rib cartilage in 2022, a high ankle sprain. Last season, he's even played through a broken finger on his offhand before in 2023. So I'm expecting him to play. I think the bigger question is, you know, how does it change the structure of the offense? How much will he be able to play under center? How does that change things from a game plan perspective for Jim Harbaugh and Greg Roman?
Yeah, well, I mean, that is the next question. So if you assume that, you know, under center is more difficult and the running game is more difficult, how does that, like, mess with the identity of what the Chargers have been successful with so far this season?
Yeah, so in that game against the Raiders last week when he broke his hand early in the game, they kind of shifted their run game to a lot of pistol stuff. He didn't take an under center snap after he broke his hand on that first drive, but they were able to transition a lot of their looks into the pistol formation. So I would assume if he can't play under center, you would see a lot of pistol and they could get to some stuff from that. Obviously what that eliminates is some I formation stuff, which they like to do with Scott Matlock as their fullback, takes away some of the play action boot game that you can get to from under center. We'll see exactly what happens here. I mean, in practice this week during some walkthrough stuff, he was aligning under center when they were going through those snaps and concepts. However, he wasn't actually taking the snap. Center Bradley Bozeman was sort of turning around and handing it to him. So it'll be interesting to see. I think, you know, they will be prepared if they really want to go under center and Justin Herbert can't, for Trey Lance to come into the game and do some of that stuff. The only, like, situations where I could really see that happening is, you know, some goal line looks or maybe four-minute offense. So a lot to be determined in terms of what the structure of the offense actually looks like. But the pistol formation is available to them, and they can get to a lot of their run stuff out of that formation.
And last thing on Herbert, when he was in practice, is he wearing a cast on his non-throwing hand? What is he dealing with in terms of protecting that?
Yeah, so he went through a couple of different variations this week. Early on in the week when he returned to practice, he had kind of like a plastic brace/cast over his glove. Later in the week, he transitioned to sort of like a baseball guard, like a Nike baseball guard that you would wear over your hand if you were in the batter's box. So I think they're kind of working through some different variations, and we saw a couple of those this week. Obviously, I'll have my binoculars out at SoFi during warmups to see exactly which variation of it they're going with in the game. But something hard to cover the top of the hand where the break occurred to try and eliminate a potential re-injury situation.
This team, Daniel, from an identity standpoint, it's been a little hard to figure out. Most people would think of the Harbaugh team as a run-based sort of offense. But Justin Herbert has put the ball up pretty well this year. He's had a lot of success throwing the football this year, getting the ball spread around to his guys. So they throw the ball with effectiveness as well. Him not being – I wonder how will this broken hand sort of affect what they do going into the game tonight. Do they lean more to that run game, or do they still do what they've done a lot of, which is actually throw the ball at times this year?
Yeah, I would expect them to lean into the run game for a few reasons. Obviously, number one is what Herbert's dealing with the hand. Number two is they're down both of their starting tackles, and they've been working with a bunch of different variations up front this year, and they can't really drop back in the same way without Joe Alt and Rashawn Slater on the field. And then you go back to how the Eagles defense played against the Bears in that Black Friday game, what the Bears were able to do on the ground, getting into a lot of spread formations and 11 personnel and being able to run out of some of those looks. So I would expect them to run a decent amount. You know, I don't think it's as much related to Herbert's hands as it is. Like, they can't really pass protect when they're going into traditional drop back just because of the injuries. And so when they have, you know, been successful throwing the ball since those injuries, it's been a lot of quick game and then a lot of play action where they can mass protect it up front and be more secure there in terms of pushing it down the field. So for those reasons, I think they're going to lean into the run game. But I think you're exactly right. You know, identity-wise, it's been tough to pin down exactly what this team is, largely because of a lot of these injuries up front.
Daniel Popper of The Athletic with us, who covers the Chargers. Wanted to ask you about a former Eagle that it's sort of funny. We all look at the Eagles' struggles in the run game this year and say, ah, they should have kept Mekhi Becton. And then they look at Mekhi Becton, who seems like he has struggled over there. What has the story been with him this year? Has it been injury? Has it been him not playing well? Why hasn't he settled in well there when he played so well here last year?
Yeah, kind of all of the above. You start with, you know, the inability to stay on the field. You know, you go back to week one in Brazil, he had food poisoning, he's had a hand injury that's knocked him out of games, he had a concussion, he's had a knee issue. So he hasn't played consistently in terms of staying on the field. When he has been on the field, it's been very up and down. He's obviously a better run blocker than pass protector, but he hasn't lived up to the billing in either area. He's had some moments, but I think, like, as far as why it hasn't transitioned as well, you know, the Chargers went into the season thinking they were going to have Rashawn Slater at left tackle and Joe Alt at right tackle. They lose both of them. Rashawn in training camp, Alt missed time early in the season with a high ankle sprain, ended up suffering a season ending high ankle injury later in the season. So not having those two pieces, I think, has been an impact. He's playing next to a worse center in Bradley Bozeman. So it just hasn't clicked. I think he's playing in a worse environment in terms of the players around him. He obviously in Philadelphia had arguably the best offensive line coach in the league and Jeff Stoutland. And then he's really struggled to stay on the field and, you know, has dealt with numerous ailments, and that's obviously impacted his ability to find a rhythm as well.
So the Eagles offense has not been great this year. If you're looking at what they're matched up against with the Chargers defensively, where are the soft spots with the Chargers that the Eagles could potentially take advantage of?
Yeah, well, I think you start with the run defense. The Chargers have been very inconsistent in that area throughout the season. They had their bye in week 11, came out of the bye and made some adjustments against the Raiders just in terms of devoting more resources to the line of scrimmage. They showed some five-man fronts with inside linebacker Deion Henley playing more of an edge role. They started rotating some safeties down pre-snap to show single high and get that extra body in the box. And it worked against the Raiders, but the Raiders are the worst rushing team in the league. So I think first and foremost, you have to try and test that out and see if those adjustments are actually real or not. You know, secondly, in terms of pass defense, the Chargers are very, very good in terms of defending passes outside the numbers. Number one in pass defense efficiency outside the numbers. In between the numbers, they're 24th in pass defense efficiency. These numbers from True Media. And so, obviously, a lot of talk about how Jalen Hurts doesn't love to throw over the middle of the field, but if there is a weakness in this Chargers pass defense, it is in those areas of the field over the middle. So, can the Eagles run the ball? And then can Jalen Hurts, you know, attack the middle of the field where the Chargers have some limitations, particularly, you know, Denzel Perryman, an inside linebacker, is probably their weak link in the back seven in terms of pass defense. So those are the two areas I would be focusing on if I was, you know, game planning against the Chargers defense.
Yeah, I'm interested in what the, I guess, the thought on the Eagles offense right now is from out there, whether it be from I don't know how much you can glean from the Chargers' standpoint. I'm sure they're going to be respectful in their assessment of the Eagles' offense. But from the fan base out there, what do you guys think when you think of the Eagles' offense and you watch the Eagles' offense this year? How do you feel they've operated?
Yeah, you know, I think that just talking to guys in the locker room, I think there's respect for the talent.
Yeah.
There's certainly respect for what Jalen Hurts can be as a runner, particularly. I think the Chargers are expecting, you know, that knob to be turned up in terms of the amount of design rushes that Jalen Hurts is taking in this game. You know, not tush-push design rushes, but design rushes from 3+ yards to gain on the first down, just in terms of power, zone read, quarterback draw, some of that stuff. Obviously, the weapons on the outside of receiver are very legit, and there's, you know, a lot of respect for, you know, Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. I think, like, just from what I saw on tape and some of the conversations that I had in the locker room, it's just looked a little disjointed. You know, a lot of penalties. I mean, the Eagles are fifth in the NFL in penalty yards on offense this season. You just watch the film back, and there's guys running into each other, you know, and I mentioned specifically Dallas Goedert tripping up Jordan Mailata on that, you know, slicing across the formation early in that game against the Bears. But the reality is, like, it could click at any moment, and I think there's a certain respect level there just as far as what they have from a talent standpoint. And, you know, even though the Eagles have been struggling, I don't see or have an understanding that the Chargers are overlooking this offense to any capacity at all.
So what's your gut tell you about tonight? The Philadelphia Eagles are a difficult team for us who watch them every single week and talk about them incessantly to really figure out what we're getting out of them tonight. What does your gut tell you about this game tonight?
I'm expecting, like, low-scoring, ugly game, defensive game, and, you know, see who sort of pulls it out at the end. You know, I think the Chargers are going to have a good plan for the Eagles' offense. I think a lot will come down to how they defend the run. If they're able to do that, I think they're going to take away these outside throws and force Jalen Hurts to throw over the middle. The Chargers just have a lot of question marks on offense. You know, what is Herbert going to be with his hand? How much can they go under center? You know, they ran the ball well against the Raiders, but what will that look like against, you know, a better unit with the Eagles? So I'm not expecting a big offensive game tonight. I think it's going to be both defenses playing well, and then, you know, whoever makes the play at the end is going to pull it out. That's sort of my expectation heading into this one.
All right, man. We appreciate your time today and the insight, and you can read Daniel's work over at The Athletic. We appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Yep. So it's funny.
Do you think Elliot's jealous at all about how we handled that interview?
Oh, and didn't challenge him? Yeah. They go, we saw one of your tweets and we think you're a moron.
Hey, idiot.
Yeah. Hey, dummy.
Do you think that athletes should be able to bet on themselves?
Yeah, we saw your hair when you were on vacation. It looked dumb. You're short. You have small feet.
Yeah, I'm sure Elliot feels that way anytime we bring somebody else on besides him.
But, you know,
yeah, we don't really yell at anybody else.
Well, in fairness, when we yelled at Joe and we had listeners insult him at the camera.
Yeah, that's the only other one. Yes.
But I'm sure when Elliot goes on these other shows in other cities, they treat him with all sorts of respect,
yes,
too.
Yes. He's not used to getting that type of love wherever he goes.
Nah, he doesn't know. So it was interesting hearing him talk about the pass defense and what this is setting. So he is saying they're good outside the numbers. They're bad inside the numbers.
Yep.
So this is a setup for the Eagles to look good doing something that they haven't done well before.
How many times they throw over the middle?
if the guy that covers the team tells us they're really bad covering over the middle and they're really good outside the numbers, holy hell, man. I'm just saying that this has all the makings of one of those games where the next morning everyone's, but I was told he can't, da 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 da. I mean, it's right there for them, right? I mean, the question is, are they able to take advantage of it? If they're disadvantaged.
The question is, will he throw it?
Will he throw it?
Will he do it?
What do you think?
I don't know. I don't think so. Here's what I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I'd be more surprised if he's doing it versus him not doing it.
Yeah.
I expect him not to do it because that's what he's not done. Like that, sure. So if he's doing it tonight, I'd be pleasantly surprised.
Well, it's worth mentioning, too. I mean, the Bears were on their sixth set of linebackers, and we didn't do it
against them.
You know, and the run game, the way that he's saying it, the run game has an opportunity to do something tonight. But, yeah, that's... They just got to win.
Yeah, it's going to be ugly, man. Yeah. It's going to be ugly. Man, you know, so let me ask you, is this fair or not? I was thinking about this with the coaching.
Okay.
And, you know, I've been on record. I'm not as big on the whole schematic part of what everybody else is complaining about.
You're talking about the
coaching.
Play calling.
Play calling, rhythm, complimentary play calling. But here's the other thing also. When these games are tight like this, coaching decisions matter.
Mm-hmm.
How comfortable are we in that situation? Like, we've had a couple of the last three games, there's been decisions made late in the game that we lost one. I'm not saying we lost the game because we went for 2 points against Chicago. Still was a questionable decision late in that game, right?
Detroit. Yes.
Yeah, that, and we know the Green Bay game, throwing it deep versus punting when you're up two scores. Those are coaching decisions that could have also cost us games.
And those aren't – I don't think those are Petullo coaching decisions.
I agree.
Those are
Nick decisions collective effort decisions. I'm just wondering, when the game is tight like this, how confident are we that we're going to make that right decision as well?
Oh, not confident at all.
Because that's been a part of the equation as well. Like, changing up the offense after halftime in Tampa because somebody complained they're not getting the ball.
Yeah.
Right? And we don't even complete a pass in the second half.
Yeah. I'm not.
There's been some coaching things that have put us in some precarious positions as well.
Well, the other thing is that
the Denver game, I think about, only two runs in the second half.
The team has had an opportunity to make those decisions look better. You know, the only defense, I agree. If I were the devil's advocate
there's
and create a defense
there, yes. Yep.
And say, like, look, the team's playing bad. So when the team's playing relatively, then most of your decisions are
going to come out wrong.
Are going to look bad.
Yeah.
You know, and that's now, even in the moment, the punting decision against the Lions or it seemed insane, or against the Packers.
The Packers, yeah.
Seemed insane to me.
Yeah.
There have been decisions, or at the end of the first half.
The Lions, it was the two-score game that we right? Is that right, Fritz?
What's the one where they should have punted?
One we should have punted and we didn't. We went for it. I think that was the
Green
Lions.
Green Bay is when they took the deep shot late.
Okay.
No, there's one we went for it and got stopped on fourth down.
That was Detroit. That was the Lions game.
Yes.
That was Detroit. Yes. Yeah.
Back-to-back weeks of questionable.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. And then you throw the Chicago game in there where they went for the two-point conversion. I'm just saying that there are coaching decisions that's also adding to what the players are doing. In other words, the coaching isn't necessarily making up for the
inadequacies.
Or inadequacies of the offense.
Well, I think at the end of the day, like you've said the phrase complimentary football a lot.
Yeah.
Nobody's the rhythm of everything is off. Not just the rhythm of the players with themselves, but even like the coaches. I feel like if I were in their position, I wouldn't even know what to do. You know, I wonder sometimes when they go for it on a fourth
down. Here's when I wouldn't be aggressive.
Well, yeah.
I don't know what they've done this year to say is we should be aggressive.
Well, I wonder if this goes through his mind. When they're going for it in that Detroit game, if they're saying, man, if we can get this one.
Maybe this
helps everybody.
It's only a yard.
Yeah. A yard's harder than it's ever been for the Philadelphia Eagles. 215.
I'm with you there.
215. I'm just trying to put myself in their headspace, they've all seemed like, except for the one that we disagreed on was the going for two decision. But overall, I think we've been on the same page on all those other
ones. Somebody did that yesterday too, right?
I don't know. I know somebody did
the two-point thing yesterday. Oh, Cleveland.
Oh, did they?
Cleveland.
So they took Shador off the field?
No. They went for it the first time for two. When they didn't need to. They went to cut the lead to six.
Okay.
They could have just kicked the extra point to make it
to seven.
And they fumbled the snap on a two-point conversion and didn't get it.
So they ended up down eight.
And then they had to go for two at the end of the game. And then they took Shador off the field.
215-592-9494. It is a gut check game day on the WIP afternoon show.
They referred to it as the mistake by the lake.
Yes, I've heard that.
I see why.
A number of times. Bruce in D.C., you're on WIP. What's up, Bruce?
Hi, Spike and Jackie Baseball. Good afternoon, everyone.
What's up, Furry Bruce?
Hey.
See, I knew you liked that. I knew you liked that name. Yeah, he likes that name.
Hey, hopefully after this game, I'll be able to put on a furry costume and go out and holler in the morning instead of waking up the next day and walking out in the morning screaming at the damn clouds.
Well, you would look a little ridiculous in the morning with the furry costume, for sure.
No, absolutely. Hey, but look, before I get into my commentary, I just want to say thanks for standing in your truth on this on their Dukes of Hazzard on Friday afternoon. I didn't get a chance to get on. I had to say that. So thanks for bringing me in on this, Jack. Because I had to say something. You know, I got a little interesting tidbit about that was never brought up.
Go ahead.
And let me just say, I was the same way. I love Dukes of Hazzard because of Daisy Dukes.
That's right.
And mm-hmm. we all grew up, and we never looked at the Confederate flag. We didn't even.
Yeah.
A lot of my classmates.
I didn't know it.
African American.
Yeah, I didn't know it. Yeah.
And just so you know, a lot of people don't know that Two Live Crew in the 90s made a hit song about Daisy Dukes off of the same thing. So people need to relax.
A lot of us do know that.
Yeah.
That's right.
A lot of our generation do know that. We do know that.
Exactly. And people are too sensitive.
Look at that girl with the Daisy Dukes on.
Go! Man,
Two Live Crew had a moment. They definitely had a moment.
Yeah.
But anyway, this game is a must win.
Of course.
There's no doubt about it. Because here's the thing. Here's the way I see this. You know, these stories, like today, they're talking about there's a bunny in the locker room for morale. And
you know a thing or two about that, right, Furry Bruce?
Yeah.
Hey,
they should have asked you to be the bunny.
Right. Yeah.
I guess I walked into that one. But, you know, and then Saquon and his comments about stuff on the sideline, I'm worried about this team. And the only way from a leadership standpoint, is to come out here with a cohesive game plan and get it together on the offense. And the thing, I said this before, a lot of this stuff is correctable. The penalties, if they come out with penalties, they eliminate the penalties. That was a loss for two of the games right there. And come with a sustainable running game. I'm still looking to see them use the other running backs. I think if we do part of that at the play, a game plan, and Jalen just stays focused on using his legs more. You know, this whole thing about him, I'm going to do what it takes to win. Well, guess what? We got to win one tonight, Jalen. Use your damn legs a little bit more because that's what powered the offense partly last year too. So I think if they do all of those things together, we should be able to come out with a good win tonight versus anything else because, I tell you, if it goes bad, they're going to be in trouble. So...
Yeah, if it goes bad, I think we're giving a eulogy tomorrow. I mean,
oh, God.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like if it goes bad, not just lose, if it goes bad. So what does your gut tell you, Furry Bruce? What's gut?
Well, my gut tells me I have faith in this team. I had a lot of criticisms, you know, but I believe after everything that has happened, and I hope they took a look at some of those games yesterday where people were putting it all on the line. They're going to come out tonight. And they're going to give us a good victory. It's a semi-home game. They should be able to handle it. And I have faith in this team, and we'll see.
All right.
10-point victory. 10 to 12-point victory.
Oh, that it? All right. Thank you for it.
10 to 12-point victory? I don't know if I'm predicting double-digit wins.
They got to score double digits to win.
Exactly,
by
I don't know if I'm predicting double-digit wins.
They are still a 2.5-point favorite. So they were 2.5, then it dropped down. At some point during the weekend, it dropped down to 1.5. And then this morning, I looked again, and it was back up to 2.5.
Yeah.
So I thought the drop to 1.5 meant that they got more sure that Herbert was playing, and then maybe people jumped on that if you're betting the Eagles. So Eagles still a favorite on the road, as bad as things have been.
I don't know how you bet the Eagles.
I don't know how you bet
the Eagles. I don't know how anybody bets the Eagles.
Well, especially because last week was an Eagles line. Eagles Bears.
Yes.
7.
Yeah, for sure.
Even though some people said
Don't do it.
That person also picked 31-21.
Yeah, it don't matter about that.
Come on, let him do his thing. Let the guy do his thing.
I'm
Holy
trying to save
cow.
You money, man.
Yeah.
It's the holidays.
You were very clear. I'm going to give you the score.
Exactly.
But
yeah.
I prefer that you do not lay the 7. 215-592-9494. It's a must win tonight. What does your gut tell you? Do they save the season and win this game tonight? Do they have it in them? Coming up next, a lot of updates as the winter meetings are going on with the Phillies. So we will have all the Schwarber updates and the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. And we will talk about the Positivity Bunny, and we won't let them call it a rabbit. That is a bunny. It is a bunny. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
The FanDuel Sportsbook app in partnership with Valley Forge Casino is your home for all your favorite NFL bets. From touchdowns to yards to who will win, with FanDuel, any play can be the play of the game. Tonight, FanDuel is giving all customers a 30% profit boost token. That's right, you can get in on the action with a 30% profit boost token this Monday night. So make FanDuel your go-to app for any snap. Just visit FanDuel.com/Ike to bet on the game. Play your game with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official sportsbook of 94 WIP.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga, here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, yeah. Oh, this is it. It's an easy putt for 330 country.
Yeah, come on, man. That's a gimme. That's a gimme.
It's a WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Men's Night, Montgomeryville, Thursday night, December 18th. Ray Diddy will be there signing the Eagles Encyclopedia, food and spirits as well. Which is tonight more of a must win or a can't lose? What do we think? It's more of a must win or a can't? I think this is a can't lose over a must win. What do you think?
Or is it a you got to have it?
I don't know.
I got to agree. Can't lose this game.
Can't lose this game. Yeah, what do you think? You are the originator of must win or can't lose.
It's a must win. I mean, it's more a must win. See, the best is someone says must win, and then you come back with, yeah, but they can't lose it.
Yeah, they can't. Yeah. Well, that's the truth.
And that's how me and TK got into an 8-minute argument. That started off.
Y'all
fake.
Would get into an 8-minute argument.
Well, TK was calling it dumb, and then TK got sucked into it. Yeah. I remember it. Yeah.
Yeah, I got him.
Yeah, you got him.
I went to, when he was in the update booth, there was no one worse in this studio than me.
Let's get an update on what's going on with the Phils.
It's time for the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report.
Joining me right now is Jackie Baseball Fritz.
Yes, Jackie Baseball.
I don't even know where to start. I mean, there's a lot going on down in Orlando. Well, not really. Nothing's really happened yet. But there's a lot of rumors swirling. I guess we'll start with Schwarber.
Yeah.
So last night, big news. Big news out of Pittsburgh. The 4-year offer over $100 million for Kyle Schwarber, obviously showing the fans that they're interested, but it feels like the reaction to the whole thing was, haha, cute.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like, oh, shucks, we tried so hard to get you guys a slugger. Well, sorry. Like,
see, Paul?
Yeah.
Skeensy? We're really invested.
We're trying. Now, instead of getting Kyle Schwarber, what we're going to do is pay some other guy $1.8
million. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So, Schwarber does seem like the linchpin to a lot down Orlando. It seems like he's going to sign this week. You know, the Mets continue to be linked to him. Obviously, we know the Reds. People still say the Phillies are the favorite, but I think what's happening is once he signs, then let's say it's not with Philadelphia, with the Phils, then they can go to Bellinger, and then all these other kind of pieces fall into place a little bit. You know, Kyle Tucker probably signs elsewhere for more money. Schwarber seems like the linchpin because the Phillies are also a linchpin to where if he signs elsewhere, then the Phillies all of a sudden become a player for a lot of different players.
So I would be assuming right in saying that if they sign Kyle Schwarber, they're out on signing any of those other guys. There's not going to be a Cody Bellinger if they sign Kyle Schwarber.
So the exciting part about that is that that has been what, you know, Zalecki and some other Phillies reporters have said, that it's Schwarber and JT. You sign both those guys and you're pretty much out of money. You know, that's where you couldn't afford a Bader because of whatnot. But Matt Gelbro today, he said, make no mistake, the Phillies have money to spend. It's why they have been connected to most of the major free agents this offseason. Dombrowski, the club's president of baseball ops, was transparent last offseason when the Phillies limited themselves to only 1-year contracts for free agents. It was something of a bridge year. Now, no one with the club has hinted the Phillies would be restricted from additional long-term deals beyond Schwarber and Real Muto. So that's exciting, if it's true.
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 I would be surprised if they signed those two guys if they spent significant money elsewhere.
Now, what it could be is if they trade for someone that is under team control for a couple of years but is also making some money. So a guy like Ketel Marte, maybe that's where he falls into the mix. And John Paul Morosi had this update on the Ketel Marte situation from earlier today.
A Ketel Marte trade, Lauren, is certainly possible as we begin these winter meetings because the interest in him is so robust, and there are a number of teams that have already checked in with the Diamondbacks, and the Diamondbacks have, notably, Lauren, they have not exactly shut down those conversations based on what sources have told me. And one team that's really interesting that I heard about, the Philadelphia Phillies. And the Phillies are not, I repeat, not among the teams on his limited no-trade clause, so the Phillies could actually acquire Ketel Marte without his permission. That's a really important detail to keep in mind there.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, and I think I asked you this before, but there's no chance if they trade for Marte and they trade Bohm that they move Stott to third. They end up, you think they trade Stott?
I think the Diamondbacks would be interested in Stott.
Okay.
Yeah. So, again, a lot of people say you'd have to trade Andrew Painter in a deal for Marte, and maybe that's true, but they could also maybe do Stott, Arun Escobar, who's one of their top five prospects, and their first-round pick last year in Gage Wood, who is a psycho and comes out to Allison Chains, we're all big fans of.
Yep.
So they didn't want to do Painter, maybe one of those guys. I do think they would have enough. They want to pull it off, but if Gelb's suggesting that they do have the ability to add more, on top of just Schwarber and JT, Marte having 4 years, 90-some million left, could fit that mold.
Okay.
So that's exciting.
Real question, real quick, before you move on.
Okay.
Would you trade Painter if that's what they wanted to trade for Marte?
So I think that they'd be more prone to trade Painter than Aiden Miller this offseason. Like I think Aiden is now like the golden prospect, in a way.
Over Painter. Would you trade Painter?
Yeah.
I think that's where
he know that's what I... He, yeah. know, he,
well,
know
he was avoiding it.
Yep. I would rather do the other trade.
But?
I wouldn't. Listen, I think Ketel Marte is awesome. But 32, has had injury problems every year, and there's some weird clubhouse stuff with him where the other players on the Diamondbacks are frustrated because he didn't show up to games or shows up late. So you worry about buy-in. Maybe if he comes here,
okay,
he gets more locked in.
It's less. It has. I'm not gonna say it has less to do with him. It is less. We know what he is.
Sure.
Has more to do with who do you believe in more with the young prospects. As to are they going to, between Miller and Painter, who's more likely to get closest to reaching their potential? And which would be more beneficial to the Phillies?
Well, Painter has the higher upside.
Okay.
Because I think Painter could be a top 10 pitcher in the sport, where I think Aiden is more of an all-star level player. But did the injury last year, or coming off of Tommy John, did that hurt his stuff overall, and is he going to reach that ceiling? I think that might be conversations that they're having now. The thing is, there's not that right guy out there, I think, this offseason for an Andrew Painter trade. You know what I mean? There's not like a Soto.
Like a no doubt
right.
about it.
You need a 27. Well, you want somebody younger.
Yeah,
I
sure.
Imagine.
Yeah.
yeah, you want
sure.
somebody younger.
So I think I would trade Andrew Painter for the right guy. You
right.
know, but I worry about Marte's age and some of the things. Even Buxton, like Buxton's all kinds of injuries, but he's Gold Glove center fielder and 3 years, $45 million left. The Twins said they're not trading any of their stars, but that could also change. It doesn't benefit them saying we're open for business, I guess. So,
right.
yeah, I don't know.
All
but,
right.
But Marte,
I know you're a Miller guy, but you're a pitcher.
Yeah. yeah.
You like pitchers.
But they draft
a pitcher. I'll just throw the quotes up there.
Ooh. Whoa. Five strikeouts and eight plate appearances against Joe DeCamera.
Okay.
What a feat. I mean, yeah. what a feat.
So I was just wondering how you feel about those two.
And I was talking to a big leaguer this weekend, and
okay.
he said I was a Westchester legend. I want,
oh,
I want
okay.
that on,
okay.
want
okay.
that on
is
the
that
record.
What, is that what Ben Davis said?
I want that on
yeah,
the record.
Okay.
Why is that who I thought of, too?
Yeah.
yeah. yeah. Anyway. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's all good. Anyway.
Okay.
No, it actually wasn't Ben.
Okay.
So, couple other things real quick.
Uh-huh.
You see Wheels of the game last night?
I saw it.
That was
good. Yeah, it's nice to see him.
A good, I got, you know, got a little weepy.
Well, everybody's out to see the king.
Yeah, besides Ike.
Yeah. Maybe he had your seat.
Yeah, you could have sat next to Wheels, man. He could have got us a big update, see how he's doing.
Yeah.
See how he's doing. Jeff Kent gets elected to the Hall of Fame.
How about that?
With Barry Bonds on the ballot, Roger Clemens on the ballot, Gary Sheffield on the ballot, Don Mattingly, Dale Murphy, Jeff Kent. Good for Chase Utley, by the way.
Yeah.
Good for Chase.
Jeff Kent was
I'm going to tell you.
Jeff Kent was an MVP.
At least he was an actual MVP,
yeah.
unlike your guy.
He would have got it in 07 if he didn't break
saying,
his hand.
What's our guy who was on with us last week? John Foley.
Yeah,
John Foley.
Yeah.
A lot of good tweets about J-Ro this weekend.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. He's on the J-Ro Hall of Fame.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, he got me
on J-Ro. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That there's a lot of tweets out there that would support J-Ro to be there.
I don't understand the point of this committee, like what they're there for. There's nothing confusing about Jeff Kent's case. Now, I don't think it's wrong that he's in the Hall of Fame. To me, right. He is a, you know, Scott Rolen was a great defensive player. But production-wise, Jeff Kent, you know, has more home runs than any second baseman in history. You know, I don't have a problem with Jeff Kent being in the Hall of Fame. But there was nothing confusing about his candidacy when he was on the ballot for 10 years and didn't make it.
Yeah.
So if the point of this committee is not to put the steroid guys in, which I'm fine, I don't want to fight about it or whatever. I just don't understand. If Jeff Kent didn't make it, he didn't make it. Like, that's it.
Right.
He shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. You see what I'm saying? Like, I don't understand the point of this committee. I like that it's hard to get in the baseball.
Hall.
Like,
I agree.
You can't like this. This is ridiculous.
And like which part?
Well, that is so hard to get into Baseball Hall of Fame.
God, we like the high standards. Well, the football's hard to get into.
Well, no, it's not. Well, I mean, but let's face it. Most guys who actually get in, they deserve to be in. They deserve to be in. Here's my only thing with baseball. Here's my only thing. It's a sport that needs stars to remain viable.
Sure, I agree.
So keeping guys out of the Hall of Fame whom is a generation of players that we think deserve to be in there, me hurts the game more than it does celebrate the game or uplift the game. Making it harder and putting a guy like Jeff Kent, who, I don't know, I mean, sure, he won an MVP. Did Jeff Kent ever at any point, like, did he ever resemble an MVP or a Hall of Fame player?
No, he's just one of those guys that got in.
Accumulated numbers.
He was a good player. Everybody hated him, which I think was one of the reasons he didn't get voted in.
Even his own teammates.
His teammates hated him. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. Like, those guys should be in. I just want to celebrate the guys. Yeah.
Where basketball is too easy to get in.
Yes, for sure.
It waters down the Hall of Fame. I want baseball to at least, come on, man.
You're not making a trip to Cooperstown to see the Jeff Kent induction?
Yeah.
Well, the other thing is they have the contemporary baseball era committee, whatever.
Yes.
And then there's another committee after them of just older guys trying to fight for like the Harold Baines of the world.
Is that the Veterans Committee?
The Veterans Committee.
Right.
Yeah, there's all these committees because the first time around just isn't.
Well, they have 10 years to get into the Hall of Fame. I could understand if these guys are there to put the steroid guys in.
Right.
And if you want to keep the steroid guys out, I'm actually fine with that too. You should be consistent. You know, Andy Pettit shouldn't get in and Big Poppy shouldn't have gotten in. If you want to keep all the steroid guys out, that's fine. But I thought that's what this, like, committee was for, to get the Gary Sheffields in, to get the Barry Bonds in.
Right.
There's nobody excited that Jeff Kent's getting in the Hall of Fame. I don't care.
That's the point I'm making.
It's just like, it doesn't do it. Can you imagine if they put Bonds? That would be electric.
That's news, yes.
Yeah, that would be news.
Do some clickbait. Get some buzz about the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Actually, I have one other Phillies thing to discuss with you.
I know.
Yeah, after. Yeah. Well, I want to talk about Colonial on
that
real quick. But
you don't have to if you don't want to.
Yeah, no. We got to bring it up. Ho, ho, hold up. Oh, that's right. John Ashdale, the car czar. He's your Santa. He's going to help you slay the season at Colonial Hyundai. December is the month to stop settling and start slaying. Slay your car payment. You can pick through your choice of a brand new Hyundai Palisade, a Santa Fe, a Tucson, any other brand new Hyundai. Buy with 0% financing and make your monthly payment make sense at Colonial. Slay your commute. Choose from one of the 200 brand new Hyundais in stock at Colonial. And they have those SUVs you need, maybe if you're nervous about driving in the snow. Slay your driveway. The highest trade-in values in the Delaware Valley. You're going to get top value for your trade, $6,500 guaranteed, no matter what condition it's in. And you know every new Hyundai at Colonial comes with America's best warranty, a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain with Hyundai Assurance. More for your trade, 0% financing, any new Hyundai. Route 30 in Downingtown is where Colonial is. Online at ColonialHyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the fast, easy, better way to buy a Hyundai. In-stock vehicles only. Offers can't be combined. Lease Tier 1 credit through HMF, 10,000 miles a year, 20% down, plus first payment tax tags and fees. See dealer for full details. Jack, do you have your last item here on the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report?
Well, Bryce just saved his career and next season with some blood infusion thing. You can explain it way better than I can, Spike.
Yeah, so
what happened?
Well, so Bryce, what are the, is it EBO? Is that what it is? EBOO? Is that what it was, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what Bryce did was, what they're doing now, and I did some reading on it. There's limited evidence to support this does anything, for what it's worth.
Of course.
They take out 1/3 of his blood, they oxygenate the blood, and then they put the blood back in his system.
Awesome.
Now, what it's supposed to do is fight inflammation. It's supposed to be good for inflammation. So, like, there are two ways I could look at this. Now, if I want to give him, if I want to be generous here, I would say that this, 25 years ago, this is probably where PRP was. It's not the same thing. It's a different procedure. But, like, remember when Kobe had to go overseas to get PRP? And now you can get PRP anywhere. It's pretty. Now, there's debate as to how much it helps or whatever, but you can pretty much do it anywhere. Maybe that's where this is right now. There's two ways I could look at this. One, Bryce seems like a guy who would do a, you know, experimental thing that he heard about from one of his pseudoscience doctor friends or whatever. Mm-hmm. He just seems like the type. The other thing is, he is desperately trying to get that wrist better, and he's hoping this has some effect. That nothing has worked so far, and he is hoping that as he ages, as he feels these things throughout his body, that this sort of thing will be helpful. I don't know which one it is. I hope it's the first one. It's just Bryce being Bryce. I hope it's not a Hail Mary. That's my worry, is that it's a Hail Mary.
Yeah. It's definitely a Hail Mary.
It feels like it's a Hail Mary.
Yes.
Jack, any opinions on your boy?
Well, it's
we're going to have a lot to talk to him about at spring training.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm all for trying things.
Yeah. Are you going to get this blood thing?
Well, that was the bit idea I brought up on you off the air.
Yes.
I was like, hey, if he wins MVP, I'll get it done. And you were like, it's probably $10,000,
$15,000. So. Yeah, something like that.
Insurance doesn't cover
that. No. Insurance?
Come on, man. Start the GoFundMe. Come on, Lakin. We're all for the bits here, right?
Oh, I would love to see Jack sitting with his IV.
Oh, 30 of your blood taken out?
Yeah.
How many years left?
Six.
Oh, so, yeah, no big deal. We'll find all the experimental procedures we can get. Oh, Bryce is replacing his eyeballs with cyber eyeballs?
Hey, whatever it takes to get 1% better.
Yes.
Dude, Kobe went to Germany. You know, LeBron went to Miami.
Well, he goes
to Miami regularly.
Yeah.
Yes. Utley, I think, went across the seas to get his knees looked at.
Well,
they
got PRP done, right? Well, that's what Kobe got.
I know.
Yeah.
What PRP is, well, whatever. You don't care.
I have no idea.
All right.
All I know is we're back on Bryce. He's going to win MVP this year.
There's been a lot of questionable Bryce posts. He did make chicken wings on TikTok. I saw him doing that.
He did?
Yeah, but the mustache is weird. He looks weird.
How's he making the chicken wings?
Oh,
I have no idea. Yeah,
I missed it. I follow him on TikTok.
He grilled them. They look pretty good.
Oh, he grilled them.
And he dipped it in ranch, which you guys would be very happy with.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know if he fried them, baked them, or grilled them.
He grilled them.
Okay.
He grilled them.
All right.
So speaking of Hail Marys, when the reporters walked into the Eagles locker room this past weekend, they saw a giant Easter bunny going into the locker room. Now, this Easter bunny, it looked like what? It looked 8 feet tall? It looked a pretty big Easter bunny.
Huge bunny.
Yeah, Ashlyn Sullivan had it in there. I guess A.J. Dillon brought in the Easter bunny.
And they said, who are you?
A.J.?
Yeah, and they called it the Positivity Rabbit.
Yep.
Do you have Saquon on the Positivity Rabbit? Here.
Giant bunny outside of your locker. I don't know. I have no idea. I'm not into like holidays and like bunnies and Christmas. I do Christmas stuff. I got kids, but like I'm not really big like joyful holiday person. I guess so. I don't know why. I think that's really the only spot we can a big bunny. But I was told it's vibe bunny. And the vibes are high, so there we go.
So you didn't sign off on your locker.
Definitely didn't sign off on the dance from my locker. Not at all. To be honest, I like that better than in camp. I don't know where it's at now. It was like right there. We got like a foot one. It was just like, I'm not like a real good sweater. So like I don't really like stink too bad. And coming to work every single day and having that right there after camp practice. And you got all the big guys. I'm not gonna name names. I'm not gonna do that, but their sweaty feet. That's the only thing I was not a fan of. So I'd rather that by my locker than those smelly feet.
So he said it's a vibes bunny, and the vibes are high. I don't know. Vibes don't seem high.
Vibes are high.
Yeah, that's what he said.
What does that mean? Like, yeah. In a good place?
Yeah, I think so.
Hmm.
I don't know. If things were going great, the positivity bunny...
It wouldn't be needed.
Would be, it would also be funny. We'd be like, fun, the positivity bunny. And things are going bad.
Well, that's the very reason why they brought out the positivity bunny, because
it's not
things,
positive.
Yeah, the vibes can't be high right now, and it couldn't have been before they brought out the bunny.
Yes, and they're calling it a rabbit. It's a bunny. It's the Easter bunny. It's a bunny.
Yeah. I don't know what the difference is, but yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, bunny doesn't sound quite as tough as rabbit, though.
Yeah, I think that is the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, that looks like a bunny.
Now, Elliot thinks it's about the media.
Yeah.
So when they walk in to be positive.
Yeah. We'll talk to Elliot next.
Why would the media?
Well, yeah. It's the media. Everything's
that's
the media. To be clear, the Eagles didn't say this.
Yeah.
Elliot said it.
And I tell you what.
Yeah.
He often has the wrong read.
Yeah.
Often. Yeah.
All
I don't understand.
Time,
why
actually.
Would that be the media's job to bring positive vibes? They're trying to figure out why you can't score.
Yeah. You want a reminder for the media. I don't know. You could win.
Yeah. Like, what are we talking about? It's positive vibes when you're winning a lot. Then we can easily see the positive vibes. There clearly aren't positive vibes, or there weren't on the team, and this was being brought in to sort of lift up the spirits. Listen, I'm not in the locker room, so it doesn't have any impact on me. I'm just simply saying this ain't going to do it.
Can you imagine?
Like, this ain't cutting it.
Can you imagine you're in the locker room and some guy who has A.J. Dillon, was he played in two games this year?
Earlier the year,
yeah.
Blows up an inflatable bunny?
Yeah, the running back who hasn't played in 12 weeks thinks we need to be more positive.
Yeah.
No offense. A.J. Dillon seems like a great guy, but...
Yeah, he's trying to contribute.
Yeah.
he's trying to contribute.
The optimistic side of me is like, well, remember when the Mets had Grimace?
Right.
But, of course.
But that just happened.
Listen, it could work.
Yeah.
No, I mean, the bunny has nothing to do with it, is the whole point. They ought to be tired of losing games.
How long?
We're about to get another Ike rant.
Like, no, I'm not about to get it. I'm not about to rant. I'm just saying the idea that the bunny all of a sudden is going to change the vibes in there, that's not going to happen.
Well, listen, Bamboo Brad brought a bamboo plant with the Phillies back in the day.
And what did that do for us?
It got him on a little run and then died. They forgot to water it. They went on the road.
How many false start penalties do you think the bunny's going to get tonight?
Yeah, well, I don't know. All I'm saying is if it works, there's going to be a lot of inflatable bunnies around the Delaware Valley.
Yeah, Amazon better, you know, Lakin better, we should buy some of those. We put them all over the studio if they win.
And see, this is the stuff that happens when you feel like everything else has failed that you've tried.
Right. A lucky charm.
Yes.
We just need luck.
Yes.
Yeah, we need a lucky charm.
That's not good. When I saw that, Sam, I was like, what?
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing?
It felt like a weird time for it to happen. It hasn't felt like a fun in games.
No. Yeah. And of all things to place in the middle of your locker room that, I don't know, somehow people are supposed to believe in, you put a bunny rabbit in there in Philadelphia?
In this city?
Yeah, in this city? Is that what we're doing? How many people you think that came off as a positive to?
Almost nobody.
Just your sense. Like, what'd you get? What'd you get on your timeline?
What do you think Jalen, when he saw the positivity bunny?
Yeah, he
definitely was irritated by it.
He was like, you guys are kidding me. He probably wanted to pop it.
They should have put it, you know, for this city, they should have put a giant lunch pail in the middle of the, because everybody has got to go.
That would have been better.
Yes. Awesome.
Be more lunch pail mentality.
Yes. Big lunch pail. Just remind you to go to a big yellow flag. So, all right.
This is, oh, God.
Yeah, this could.
You're right. Iran is on his way. Man.
Yeah.
It's coming. It's coming.
See, if they lose tomorrow?
Tonight. My God.
Tonight? I know, but
the bunny stuff?
Oh, they're going to get mocked.
Oh, the 2:00. If they lose tonight, 2:00, Ike and the bunny. First 7 minutes of the show, Jack and I are just going to sit back.
How about this? They could have used hip hop.
He could have used hip hop.
He's more fierce than that bunny is.
And he's around this year? Yeah.
He could have hopped over.
215-592-9494. Elliot Shore Parks joins us next to defend his take that the bunny is about the media.
And if it is, yeah, that might be a bigger issue.
Yeah, way bigger issue. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike Spike and Fritz.
Let's talk about my friends at Mark's Jewelers. Now, the holidays are here, and there's no better place to shop for that special someone than Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Jewelers, Men's Night is back. That's right, it's back Thursday, December 18th at their Montgomeryville flagship store. Enjoy great food, cocktails, and a special appearance by Hall of Fame sports writer, I'll call him the godfather of football, Ray Dittinger. He'll be there signing and selling the updated Eagles Encyclopedia version, Champions Edition. That's Thursday, December 18th, Men's Night at Mark's Jewelers. Details at marks-jewelers.com.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.